Welcome back to Hedge Games Radio on Friday. U Sports is something we cover every Friday. Joining us is Fred Eng from the National Alliance for U Sports, the founder and a man who is making this into an international movement, and Dr. Andrew Jacobs, who has been on all sorts of national programs talking about U Sports issues. How are you gentlemen doing?
Good, great, Nick. Good to be there.
Guys, we had Charles Barkley on the show just about a week ago, and here's something he had to say about the change in the intimidation factor in terms of U.S. teams around the world.
But also, we lost the intimidation factor. They went all of us in 92. I still went there in 96, and the games were a little bit closer, but the thing I noticed is they didn't respect us. They weren't in awe anymore. You know, because in 92, we beat them by 50 points. They want to take our picture and ask for our shoes and jersey. In 96, we beat them by 40, and they like, you know, we're not going to take this much longer. So, you know, once you lose that intimidation factor, it's always going to be, you know, that takes, like, I'll give an example, like Mike Tyson. When Mike Tyson, in his early career, he was beating the hell out of people because they were intimidated by him. But once he lost to Buster Douglas, and people realize, you know, he lost that intimidation factor.
That's Charles Barkley. Starting with Fred Eng, you have been going to Africa and providing some of the fundamental roots and foundations for U Sports, so kids there that have, that don't have what we take for granted here, can get a chance to experience the joy of sports itself. When you listen to Charles Barkley talking about, first, the upper end of it, we certainly have lost the intimidation factor. Is that a good thing?
Oh, I think it's a great thing. I think that anybody today, Nick, that doesn't look at the globalization of everything is really got their head in the sands. Because if you turn around and you look at all the professional sport organizations in America and you read on their web pages where they're focused, internationally is something very strong and meaningful to them. And what we're going to be seeing in the years to come, if you look in that crystal ball, is a complete change of everything that the way we think it is. I'll give you an example. Look at what we used to call the World Series in baseball. All that consisted of was all the teams in the U.S. Now you see Major League Baseball expanding to have tournaments with teams around the world. But what
we, and of course, the players themselves in Major League Baseball are increasingly, like the NBA, becoming international groups.
Well, and yeah, now here's a good example. I was reading a thing the other day about the professional golf, and the PGA was talking about international expansion of what they're doing, and they mentioned China, and talking about the millions and billions of people that live in China, that right now, we don't hear anything about Chinese golfers, right? But pretty soon, with that millions and billions of people starting to play golf, now you're going to see the same thing that happened in women's golf in Korea, with a plethora of all these Asian players coming and dominating the LPGA. Well, that's not going to just happen in golf. That's going to happen in baseball. It's going to happen in basketball, as Charles Barkley just talked about, the intimidation. They're not intimidated anymore because the focus of basketball and other programs, it's just developing more and more. And that's what we're doing internationally, not only just in Africa, but in throughout the Caribbean, throughout Latin America, and now in Asia, in giving children a chance to play sports.
Let me just say this. Peter Ubarath, who I think did an outstanding job as an Olympic leader in Los Angeles back in 84 and continues to be a good spokesman and representative for some of these larger values which the Olympics represent, is saying, you know, this is a good thing. Competition in this country and around the world, we have to learn to compete. We have to learn to have that work ethic. We have to redouble our sense of what championship preparation is about. Dr. Jacobs, speaking of that, as you look at an interview and work with young athletes today in America, do you believe that the work ethic and the commitment to do whatever it takes to compete and be the best, not only in this country, but in the world, is what it should be?
Well, I think we're seeing through the teams that go overseas and compete in a lot of these international competitions that a lot of our athletes have taken for granted. You know, and I think basketball is the perfect sport where, you know, for years and years, our country did extremely well, and now hasn't for the last, you know, two or three major competitions, because I think there has been a complacency. And I think you're seeing You know, it's an interesting question you ask because there's two ways to look at this. From one perspective today, kids are doing more to try to become professional athletes at earlier and earlier ages. And you're seeing implementations of training programs for kids, you know, 8, 9, 10 years of age. They're visiting sports psychologists, nutritionists, personal coaches to help them learn the techniques and things to become good. And at the same time, you're seeing a lot of kids who burn out at an early age. So I think there's that going on. Yet at the same time, we're also seeing that a lot of our older athletes realize that, you know, if we are going to be able to compete with athletes around the world, there's going to have to be a greater dedication and work ethic from a lot of these people, and not taking it for granted that because we're Americans, we're going to win.
So what about when we look at the problem with a lack of supervised or too much supervised sports, a lack of the unsupervised discipline that young athletes need to have to push themselves on their own, to find the joy within themselves, not just have to have someone tell them every drill they have to do?
Go ahead, Fred.
Well, the main thing is that we know in sports that here in the U.S. what happens is Billy is 6 years old and somebody throws him out on a basketball, football, baseball, soccer field and whatnot and say, start playing. Well, what happens now in throughout the world and what we're doing with our Game On Youth Sports Initiative is getting children to understand the basic skills and then let them choose a sport that they most are adapted to in size or ability and desire and strength and et cetera. And that's where you're going to see a whole different atmosphere in the world. Think of it as a large pyramid. If you have today and you look in Africa, the pyramid is very small at the bottom with the number of kids getting the opportunity to play. Now, multiply that times 100, and the pyramid gets huge at the bottom. Why? Because today we have the satellite, we have the internet, you have CNN throughout Africa. They can look, they can see professional sports in the U.S., and they get motivated with that at a very young age. But you've got to do, like you just said, Nick, you've got to instill in them a lot of the things that sports requires, which is discipline, training, perseverance, and et cetera. And that is happening throughout the world.
You know, it's funny. It's almost the reverse of remembering when Pelé came over in the late 60s, early 70s to the New York Cosmos and how they were selling out that team was finally bringing the essence and the incredible skill sets of soccer to the American public at a level in New York, at least, that they hadn't seen before, and it caught on. Now the reverse seems to be happening. They're doing clinics. The Phoenix Suns were in Europe for 3 weeks, and they believe it helped them scout others and also continue to develop the complete game. That's what the European players, the players from around the world, are bringing, is more of a complete game to the NBA. So where do we go from here, whether it's Africa, whether it's some of the other areas of the world, whether the size of the pyramid at the bottom is only going to get bigger? What do you think is the most important responsibility for not professional athletes, but people like yourself that want to bring the joy, the character building, the community building resource that sports is around the world?
Well, you hit the nail on the head, and that is it's not all about getting to the top of that pyramid, which would be professional sports or the Olympics. What we all look at is the ones of us that go out now and play golf or tennis or ski or do all of these things that bring a lot of joy and fun to our lives. That's the important thing about sports. So if we, as our organization throughout the world, can help kids in Africa have the skill, have the motivation, have the opportunity, that gets them away from boredom, which leads to HIV and drug abuse, crime and violence, and et cetera. And that's the value of sports that we're able to bring to people, and that's why it's so important to focus on the bottom of the pyramid, giving everybody that opportunity.
You know, it's interesting, too, when you see what Ray Lewis went through a few years ago, and here he's come back from a few weeks in Africa, realizing that there's so much of an impact that he can have. We saw it in a very big way with, of course, Muhammad Ali and Zaire, and just the way that athletes in Africa look up to athletes coming from this country, and Ray Lewis wants to do something about it. I really hope that he begins to work more with you. And don't you think that the best ambassadors for this country that are non-political, that are about the quality of life that we can help improve anywhere in the world could be the top professionals and the Olympic stars who can go out together and help teach sports. Let's talk with Dr. Jacobs.
Nick, it's interesting you asked that question, and you had Charles Barkley on, who, of course, is famous for saying athletes are not role models. And really, the best role models are teachers and parents and coaches. But athletes can pave the way. And when you have a name athlete, and like you said, with someone like Muhammad Ali, with the things that he's done in his lifetime and what he stands for now, he's viewed with such tremendous respect, and people look at him and admire him for what he's done. And I think that opportunity exists for a lot of athletes, like a Ray Lewis or others, to really pave the way to show kids that they can achieve things and accomplish their goals and become successful, and not just in sports, but in life.
We're talking U Sports Friday with Fred Eng from the National Alliance for U Sports. That was Dr. Andrew Jacobs, who has been on, Stephen Smith. He's been on a number of the programs that cover these issues as well. Isn't this a great opportunity for those athletes that finally are making enough money that they can be safe financially for a lifetime and still have a lot left over to give back in this country, of course, but also have major impact around the world? Isn't it a great opportunity to have the David Stearns and the other commissioners of sport work with us to do that impact? We're going to talk more about that, and then we're going to be joined by Howard Balzer from USA Today to focus on the NFL and our picks for this weekend. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite, Channel 122, Sports Byline USA's network. We'll be right back.